certainly thankful to be able to attend this meeting again. I'm reminded of many past joys, blessed memories of years gone by. I had fond anticipations of being here and to see each of you again, it rejoices my heart. One might ask why I'm here. Well, many years ago, the Lord blessed me with a presence and love in such a congregation that I never found anywhere else in the world. Sometimes He blesses me with one of the songs you sing, and I will climb to heights that I haven't felt before. And sometimes I'll hear a sermon that it seems out of this world. I hardly ever hear a sermon that I don't enjoy in Primitive Baptist Church. Scarcely ever that I do hear one that I don't enjoy. But not all of them seemingly take me to heaven.
That's right.
It's a special blessing of God. It's kind of like the psalmist said with us, we go from strength to strength. Sometimes my joys are, they seem little when I'm shut up in unbelief. But then, just about the time I'm as far as I can go, I will be overjoyed with a message from Him. Maybe in meditation, maybe when I'm trying to study His Word, or maybe in the house of God, where joys are so full, and where I'm eating and drinking at His table in His kingdom. If I know my heart, I experience the doctrine of election before I ever knew there was such a word. I was found in the waste howling wilderness before I ever read that the Lord found Jacob there. And if not deceived, where hate and anger was, love was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost in my experience. And then when I read it in God's Word, that confirmed it. It met my experience. How about you in your experiences? Attempting to preach has been the story of my life, and I'm still trying to learn how. I would rather proclaim His Word than anything else in the world, but I'm still a dependent creature, and you can't just turn that on like you do the kitchen faucet. We're dependent on Him. I would like to encourage everyone as they press on in the way. I'm thankful for the young that are here. I'm very thankful to tell you that in the church in Dallas we have a number of young people, and we had so many dear ones in our association. It was certainly an encouragement to us all to see them come and to have the young asking scriptural questions and text that is very, the scope of it is very comprehensive, and it just thrills my soul to read it. It's the 8th verse of Psalm 116. And I think I'll read verse 8 or 9. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I know David spoke by divine inspiration. He also spoke by experience. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. I don't think that anyone can understand much about what this is saying, except they know something about the sinfulness of sin, and that our very nature, our first nature, is an offense to God, and that we were separated from Him, and that eternally, without the intervention of our Lord and Master and the quickening power of the Spirit. The rich man that thought to build larger barns to bestow all of his goods, and the question, who shall these be if thy soul is required for thee this night? Thou hast delivered my soul from death. And that deliverance took everything that the Lord Jesus Christ gave when He offered Himself for us to deliver us from sin and to pay the full price and to present us without spot or wrinkle in the eyes of the precious God of heaven, of God the Father. Thou hast delivered my soul from death and mine eyes from tears. I read of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I read of all kinds of difficulty and sorrow. But when we have the assurance that the God of heaven, whatever is, whatever sin is and its consequence, and all that it brought on us, and the state that it put us in, that the deliverance of Jesus Christ, as we by faith look beyond all of it, He has delivered our eyes from tears and our feet from falling. If you examine Romans 3 of late, you'll find that by nature my feet and your feet were swift to shed blood. We'll find that the path of wisdom was not known unto us, and that we had all gone out of the way, and there is none righteous, no, not one. Delivered my feet from falling. That doesn't mean to me that I haven't made a whole lot of mistakes, and perhaps you've made some too, but I have a glorious promise in 1 Samuel that He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. We have been attempting to walk the straight and narrow way since the God of heaven touched us by His glorious grace, and we heard the glorious gospel, the glad tidings, and the good news of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And we want to continue walking therein. I'd like to, there is a similar passage that David used in Psalm 86 and also in Psalm 56 and 13. I'd like to call your attention to both of those. Maybe in past days I could quote them from memory, but it's safer for me to read them to you now. The 13th verse of Psalm 86. For great is thy mercy toward me. About 2 or 3 years ago, I discovered the expression in Psalm 59 that in all of the years that I'd been reading, I had never noticed just how it read. And this is, you'll find this expression twice in the 59th Psalm, the God of my mercy. And if he's the God of your mercy, since he has all power in heaven and earth, and that he has declared that I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more forever. I want you to know that the overtures of mercy are opened up unto you by his hand through the merits of Jesus Christ. And we have access to them and the knowledge of them in his word. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. There's deliverance in the death of Jesus Christ, and there is deliverance when we hear the truth of it. And I know that, or I firmly believe that there have been millions that will be the recipients and the beneficiaries of his death, burial, and resurrection and his atoning blood that have never heard the glad tidings and the good news. But you and I have had that privilege of hearing it. And that's another reason I wanted to come to this meeting. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. And this, since it's in harmony with my text, or a part of it, the 13th verse of the 56th Psalm, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. The church is denominated a city on a hill that cannot be hid. And with Jesus as the light of the world and the luminary that lights each soul and blesses us with light to see and light to walk, and has enabled us through the years to try to walk in the light of the living. I, not only is this has reference to the living God, but those that have obeyed the gospel and taken up their cross and try to live by the word of God, by the New Testament church and the rules of it, to walk in the light of the living. There's light in his word. Psalms 105, or the 105th verse of Psalm 19, he's a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. That's his word. That's gospel teaching. That's gleaning from God's word to know how to live here in the world. And I want you to know, dear ones, that My Lord and your Lord knows far more about what we need than anyone else. He knows our down settings. He knows our uprisings. He knows what is best for us. And he set it forth in his word. And to have that faith and to try to walk by it is the best life. That's the abundant life Amen. That our brother Amen. Spoke of. When we, you know, Isaiah said there that an highway shall be there and a way. We're not all at all times. It isn't my experience that we are all times on the mountain. Sometimes we're down in the valley. Sometimes we feel as Bunyan in the valley of despondency. Sometimes it seems that we've gone as far as we can go. David expressed it, I believe, in Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. The devil knows how to discourage us all. He is the tempter. And he would draw us away from any joy that we find in his word. And he said his feet, David's feet, were almost gone. He was discouraged. He was feeling the chastening rod of God. And he looked around and he saw others that seemed to be prospering. He saw others that weren't in trouble that he felt. And he said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Don't be envious of especially of the riches of others. When you have an inheritance of the Lord that is incorruptible and that fadeth not away and that is reserved in heaven for you, and you have one that has loved you with an everlasting love and has cared for you and supplied you and will uphold you by his power. He has delivered your soul from death, your eyes from tears, and your feet from falling. You are upheld by the word of his power. He has all power in heaven and in earth. But David experienced this. That is one of the things that the gospel is for. Have his word that it may be explained unto us, these things that we encounter and the depths that we enter into. You and I perhaps will never go into depths that David did. You and I perhaps will never go into the depths that Job did, and certainly not into the depths of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he fully measured the depth of the fall. And he came where we were. When David said, out of the depths have I cried. I want you to know, Brother Bill, he was aware of his sins against God. He was aware of his failure, of his weakness, and he cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. It entered even into his ears, and he found deliverance. And there is hope for you and I, because we too have perhaps not so great an experience in as great an experience of joy or a greater depth of the understanding of the power of sin. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is going to deliver us all from the horrible pit and the consequence of it. And I know that I don't have the understanding or the power to measure sin, but I know this, that if he should mark iniquity, who should stand? The God of my mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He came, he found us, he reached down into the depths, and he delivered us. If I could encourage any in the house of God to keep on looking to him, keep reading his word, keep praying one for another, the Lord is at hand. He's so great and wonderful and tender. I marvel that he can touch the little infant in the womb, that he can quicken whom he will just by his word. The words that I speak, their spirit and their life. I can't understand. There's a lot I can't understand about the depth of iniquity and why it is necessary that we have an adversary. But I want you to know that he has delivered us from that adversary, and he delivered us from the wrath to come. He has delivered our soul from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from falling. I think I'll remain in the way because I'm preserved. And that preservation started or began in the covenant. I don't mean literally, but I mean when we were born of the Spirit, we were set apart and sanctified in that glorious work. And that work will, when John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb, not all the power of the lower regions could remove that work. And wherever the love of God is shed abroad in the heart and mind of a little one, heaven is their home. They're going to enjoy the full fruition one day of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. It's a glorious work. It is precious promises. I want to wait on him. I want to live among his people. I like what Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die. Thy people shall be my people, and there will I be buried. It is a joy to worship with the believing family of God. He has a militant church in the world. He has a visible kingdom. I think there are comparatively few of his family that find the straight and narrow way, that ever press into the kingdom of God and take up their cross and follow him. That is quite obvious to me. But he set it up, and he established it, and it has remained to the present day. Some think it went out of existence in the Dark Ages, and some think that a lot of people were a part of that militant church when they really were not, so far as the gospel is concerned. But I am fully convinced that it was never destroyed, and it never will be, so long as the world stands. He lives and reigns and rules. And in this precious book and in the gospel, there are exceeding glorious and gracious promises and riches beyond compare. I'm still finding nuggets and jewels and things more precious than gold. Of course, I've forgotten some things too, as you can see. But may the Lord bless you, is our prayer. May he richly bless you. My special love to this camp meeting and the churches that make it up, and you that have gathered this evening. Of the moderator.